the revelation of that one. Amen. So I'm going to be sharing what I shared Friday, and it's a real solid, good story, but, you know, it's about two prostitutes. What's that got to do with me, Pastor? Somehow or another, the message is going to tie into your life. Somehow in the midst of this story, amen, recorded in the Old Testament about two prostitutes, is going to touch your life. There's something in it for you, amen. We're still in the series, but it's like the first step. I really drilled the first step of the series that was for months on come and see, you know, the goodness of the Lord. Just come to church. Just come to church. Amen. And then as we continue to go forward now the next step we're all on right now is Jesus saying, come and follow me. So it's much more than just coming to church and hearing the word. Now, through a course of time, you have heard the word. And now it's time, because we have heard the word, the call of God, in us now being able to follow him in order to fulfill the call of God that he has placed within each and every one of our lives. So here this day, if you're going to want to go beyond just coming to church and seeing what the Lord is doing and hearing about what the Lord is doing, but if you want to be that man, that woman that wants to follow in obedience what the Lord is doing, not only for your life, but how he wants to use your life to work through your life to make an impact in somebody else's life. See, the Lord is looking for men and women that are going to make a difference in somebody else's life for the good. How many know that at one time we were making a big difference in many people's lives, but for the bad, the wrong things, amen? We had influence, great influence. But now we're going to flip it, and we want to still make a big difference. We still want to have a great influence on the lives of others that are family members, neighbors, people at the job place. But the influence that we want to have upon their lives is one of the Lord. One of the Lord. So I ask you here this Sunday morning, do you want to bring a positive influence in somebody's life that needs you right now? That needs you. Many people are going to church this morning and ain't a disciple of the Lord. A true disciple of the Lord will follow the Lord. Amen. So Peter, John, he says, come and follow me. That the Bible says they left their boats, their nets. They left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus here this morning is looking for men and women that are going to let things go in order to follow the Lord. It'll be my desire that each and every one of y'all would want to be a true disciple of the Lord. Not just say, I'm a Christian, but a disciple. I'm a follower of Christ. Amen? So here this beautiful Sunday morning, it's Come Follow Me is the title. But if you're going to want to follow the Lord this new year in 2019, you're going to need godly wisdom. You're going to need his help. I haven't met a man yet or a woman yet that can effectively follow Jesus without making no changes within his or her life. I haven't met one. If you really want to model and follow Jesus this new year, 2019, and have an influence. See, when we model, we have an influence on somebody else's life that is looking on, that is listening to the way we speak, the conversations we have, the way we walk, the way we dress, because we're modeling. What do models do? They model, amen, whether it's clothes or purse or whatever it is, earrings, hair, whatever it might be. Amen. For everybody to see and want that same dress or that same pair of earrings or whatever. We're modeling Christ because we want people to see Christ. We want people to have Christ. So here this day, in order to come follow Jesus, it's going to take godly wisdom. You're not going to be able to pull it off in your natural wisdom. I don't care how smart you are, what degree you might have. Amen. Where's Alberto? There he is right there. He's about to get, he's about to be the accountant of the church. Amen. That was one day he was running around in the hood, jumping from spot to spot, from club to club, you know, doing all that stuff and drinking and thinking he was John Travolta one night, Scarface on the next night. Didn't know who he was, but real close to becoming an accountant now. Amen. And with all his brains and his great wisdom in math, I asked him the question in front of everybody, Alberto, can you do it on your own? Even though you're really smart and you have a 4-point average in college, what are you doing here? You don't need Jesus. Get out of here. Go back to sleep. Get some rest. Go rest that smart brain of yours. He's here because he knows. Even though he has a 4.0 in college right now, got about a year left, he can't do it without Jesus. He can't do it without Jesus. And even after he gets the degree and he gets the big money coming in, he's going to still know that he can't do it without Jesus. And if you're like me, the majority of us here that don't have that 4.0 mentality, you really need Jesus. It's a good thing to really need Jesus. It's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. I, me, myself, and I really, really need Jesus. Amen. To follow the Lord is going to take godly wisdom, and this new year, you're not going to be able to do things the same way and expect a different outcome. Amen. Some of you are going to have to press in. If you're looking for that outcome that Christ that has already put in your life, and you know it, it thumps in you, you breathe it, you eat it, you think about it all day long, the call of God upon your life. It could have been prophesied over. You're still going to need the Lord in this day and age that we live in. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. When all Israel heard the king's decision, this new year, we're going to have to make wise decisions in order to take on godly wisdom. Amen? When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side here this day, Lord. I pray that you open hearts and minds that men, women, and youth, Lord Father God, be able to be fixed on you right now, what you're doing, what you're doing. Not so much what the enemy's doing, but on what you're doing here this morning, Lord, that we may be able to follow you, Lord. To follow you not only in the good times, but that we may be able to follow you, Lord, also in the hard times. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to read the story for those that have been here on Friday. God's going to give you something fresh and something new. Amen. Just the way he does things. Amen. He knows what we need here this morning. Let's go to 1 Kings. We're to read through the story. And you need to really follow closely. As I read the story, that way when I break it down, you will have a better understanding. Amen. If all ushers could stop moving, I need total. You got to just not open and close doors. You need to bring it to a shutdown. When I see ushers going in and out, it's not good. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, all the way clear to verse 28. Let's read. Everybody focus here this day. Amen. Remember, we need godly wisdom. God's word is godly wisdom. Amen. Instructions for your life and my life as well. The Bible reads, sometime later, two prostitutes. Come on, Pastor, it's going to be in here. Why you got to give one on prostitutes? Amen. One way or another, we all were one. Amen. Some of you are scratching your head trying to figure it out right now. In other words, you were working for the devil. Amen. At a price. Some higher, some lower. We were all prostitutes. Ah, oh, Pastor, man, come on, man. It's New Year's. Why you got to use that word? It's in the Bible. Let's start again. Tell your neighbor we're starting again. Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. Prostitutes, arguments, kind of goes hand in hand, right? Amen. Please, my lord, one of them began, this woman and I live in the same house. What's worse than one prostitute in a house? Two prostitutes in a house. So we got two prostitutes, an argument kicking off. Amen. Who's ever been in an argument before? I tell you, you had part prostitute in you. Amen. Arguments just don't happen amongst two prostitutes. Let's read. Please, my lord, one of them began, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. Now there's not only two prostitutes in a house, there's two babies in a house with two prostitutes with an argument kicking off. Amen? We were alone. There were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. Then the other woman interrupted. It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. No, the first woman said, the living child is mine, and the dead one is yours. And so they argued back and forth before the king. Have you ever argued back and forth before people? See, they thought they were the only ones in the house arguing back and forth, but now they're arguing back and forth in front of the king. Then the king said, let us get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, cut the living child in two. Amen. And give half to one woman and half to the other. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. divide him between us. Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice. Amen. I shared Friday night that within every argument that you have, that you'll ever have, there is a truth and a lie within the argument. There's a truth and a lie. I share that if there's anything the enemy loves more is watching two Christians argue, whether it's a husband and wife, brother and sister, sister and brother of the church. What makes an argument take place is that the two continue to argue because both of them think they're right. Both of them think they're right. And that's what allows arguments to take place. Nobody's wrong, but both of them are right. And that's why arguments go back and forth. The way you say it is the way it should be, not the way he or she says it. And arguments take place. And whenever there's an argument take place, it's because both parties think they're right. Here, both of these women were arguing. They were prostitutes. They both thought they were right. Sometimes we can argue over little things. Sometimes, how many has gotten an argument over something really little and it escalates to something really big, like leaving the house, getting in the car, burning rubber, and you're gone? And it started with something so small that neither side wanted to give in because they were right. And sometimes arguments can take place because it's something big really taking place. Here in verse 16, there was an argument between two prostitutes regarding two children, amen, of something that had taken place in the house. One of them had died. One of them had died. We might be quick to say here this night that, so what? I don't care what they were arguing about, Pastor. They're both prostitutes. They can't be arguing about something much. But even though they were prostitutes, the argument was over something that was very important. It was dealing with two children that were just born. One was 3 days and one has just been born. And we could say that it's not important, but it is important here this day. This argument that these two prostitutes were having, amen, was affecting the outcome of now this one child that was alive. You see, every time you have an argument, it's affecting somebody else that has nothing to do with your argument. Somebody that don't even have to be in the house. They can be in another state. And your argument, the outcome of your argument, can affect their very lives. And a lot of times when we get in an argument, we can think that it's just between us and the other person. But in this scenario, in this story, there was a baby's life on the line. Regarding the argument that these two prostitutes, which were two mothers, were having this argument. And this argument was so great that it was going to affect the outcome of the living child, whether it lived or whether it died. So the arguments that we have are very important. It may start off with the husband and the wife that are arguing, and then it filters off and it goes on to the children. The children's hearing the argument. It affects them. And if you don't grow up as parents, you will continue to argue in front of the children. And as you continue to argue, the children continue to get older and older and older. So when they get married, guess what they're going to do? They're going to argue with their spouse because this is what they learned from mom and dad. So arguments affect others. Amen? And if you're going to want to grow this new year, 2019, and if you're going to want to follow Jesus, see, what kills an argument is humility. Just letting the other person win. There was a time my wife could not win one argument when we first got married. I mean, zilch. I wouldn't let her have one victory. I had to have everyone, little or great, and in between. I made sure I won everybody. I was the man of the house. I was the mucho macho guy. The Bible said I was the head of the household. Do what I say. The argument is over. And my immaturity as a husband, as a father, amen, allowed me to do and make very bad decisions. I did not have godly wisdom yet. I did not know what the word of the Lord spoke on about the marriage between a man and a woman. But as time would go on, the year after year, I would increase in the things of the Lord, and godly wisdom would start coming into my life. Today, before the Lord, I allow my wife to win. She may not agree with this one, but I'm the one preaching, amen? This ain't one of their women's meetings they're having downstairs, amen? 75% of our arguments, she wins. She gave a look to me like, what hand are you counting with? There's sometimes it's going there and I just, man, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm not going to give the enemy that foothold to get into my mind to argue to the one that I love with all my heart. I ain't going to give him that foothold. Does it happen? Yes, once in a while. It kicks off, but it's killed fast, quick. There's one thing that the enemy loves even more than watching two Christians fight, and that's watching two pastors fight. Amen? It happens. It's real. And that's why I share about it, not just when I got my blue jeans and t-shirt on, but from behind the pulpit. Arguments between husband and wife are real. Before children are real. I'm not making up this stuff. And the Church of God says, arguments affect others, not just your life. But within this argument, with this death that took place in this house of the two prostitutes, in verse 18, the Bible records that 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. And she goes on to say to the king, we were alone. There were only two of us in the house. There was, in other words, no witnesses. There was no witnesses. There was two prostitutes, two babies. One was now dead. And the Bible records that they were the only two in the house. Amen. They were the only two in the house. There was no witnesses. And within this story, I made a point that says we need to know that this new year, 2019, we need to know that not everything that happens to us is going to have a black and white answer. Amen? Not everything that's going to happen to you this new year of 2019 is going to have a black and white answer to why it happened. Amen? It's not going to have a black and white answer. This scenario between the two prostitutes in the house had no witnesses. There was no witnesses. It was an argument that didn't end up in the house. It was taken before the king, King Solomon. And we need to know here this day that sometimes there's just simply not going to be a witness to defend you, to back you up, unless you pay someone to lie for you. It does it in the movies, in the courtrooms. They pay witnesses to go up there to lie, to protect them in their crime. There was nobody but these two prostitutes and one dead baby. There was no witnesses, and there's going to be times this new year where things are going to happen. And it's going to be your word against the word of somebody else. Nobody else was there. So I say this new year, 2019, because these times will come, that wisdom, understanding, discernment is going to be needed within your life. And not a wisdom, an understanding, a discernment that comes from the way you see it, as these two prostitutes were going back and forth, but a wisdom, a knowledge, an understanding, a discernment that comes from God, the way God sees it. You see, even though there was no witnesses, that day, that night, within the house of the two prostitutes, how many know that God saw everything that took place? God saw everything that took place. And right now, as you breathe, God is seeing everything that's taking place within your life. There's nothing you can hide from Him. And just because you argue behind closed doors and nobody finds out and everybody thinks you have a great marriage at your job because you smile all the time and you say you're a Christian, don't mean that's really what's taking place. So in this case of the two prostitutes and this argument and this one baby, you see, King Solomon wasn't there at that house there that day either. But God was, and God asked King Solomon, ask of anything you want of me, and I will give it to you. And he could have asked for money, riches, all this fame, and he asked for wisdom. The Bible says that he asked for wisdom. You see, Solomon wasn't there in that. He didn't get to see the crime go down. But remember, God did. And Solomon had godly wisdom in his life, where God would give him the wisdom to bring out the truth, to bring out the lies. Within that house, that nobody else was there but these two prostitutes. See, usually you can't trust a prostitute, not usually, always. Prostitutes ain't ones to be trusted. Amen? Even if they say they'll be right back. Amen? I've known a lot of guys. Pastor, I was just dating. I didn't know it was a prostitute. I remember there was a guy that got busted. Ain't going to give his name up or anything. But he's no longer with us. So he had a little rap sheet. And one of them was that, you know, he picked up a prostitute in an alley. And the cops popped him. It was a sting. And he told the cops, I didn't know she was a prostitute. I was asking her if she wanted to go out on a date. In an alley. Didn't know her name yet. Not even her street name. So I told him, and I tell you. I said, do you expect me to believe that? I mean, come on, really. So I told him, and I tell you all. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, more likely it's a duck. My God. We need godly wisdom, and it needs to come from God. I do a lot of counseling, and I'm not at the place where it goes down, but I spent enough years with the Lord where I can figure out who's right and who's wrong without being there. Sometimes things go on in the rehab. But Pastor, you weren't there, man. I don't have to be there. I was there for many years. I don't have to be there. I've been with God. Being with God allows me to be there. Been there, done that. This case between the two prostitutes that was brought to King Solomon put him at a test. I shared Friday that they didn't have DNA testing back then where they could find out, or what's the name of that talk show? Where is it your dad or not? Maury. They didn't have the Maury show back then. They run the test. Is it the dad or not? No, but then boom, 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 they start throwing blows and everything. I told you that wasn't my kid. They didn't have the Maury show back then. They didn't have DNA. They didn't have the swab test, hair follicles, and all this stuff. That now they can bust you on a crime done 40, 50 years ago. But before all forensics, there was God. A sovereign God that knows all things, that knows everything. Even what takes place behind closed doors. God still saw and knew everything that had taken place between these two prostitutes. This new year, you're going to have to grow in a relationship with the Lord that is so intimate that a conviction will be in your life. Though even though you're by yourself in another state, nobody knows you. You're going to have to come to grips that God is able to see you, hear you. He knows you. He knew you before you even came out of your mother's womb. He knew you. It don't matter if you're not in your hometown. It don't matter if you're in a vacation place somewhere far away that gives you the green light to do whatever you want to. We need to know that when we're going the wrong way, God sees it. He hears what's taking place. He sees all, knows all. And if you're going to want to follow God this new year, you're going to have to do it His way. In verse 19 and 20, the Bible reads, "But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep." So we come to find out that it went down at night. It went down when one of the prostitutes was asleep, when the switch took place. Too many times we're switching up with who we are when Friday or nighttime comes around, and we're a Christian on Sunday, but morning, come Monday, Fridays, we switch. We do the switcheroo. We come to find out that it was during night when it took place. It was not only during the night when it took place, but we come to find out also that the mother was asleep. There's only some things that we have control over. This prostitute needed God as much as you and I need God here this morning. Even though she was a prostitute, even though it was nighttime, I say she was innocent while she was sleeping. She was innocent. Where were you on the night of such and such, on the date of such and such? I was asleep. There's some things that are going to take place that are out of our control. You need to know that this new year of 2019, some things are going to take place that are not going to be right, that are not going to be fair. Somebody's going to talk about you while you were sleeping. Somebody's going to use your name incorrectly. Somebody's going to try to use you this new year, 2019, for your money, for your looks, for whatever it might be. You need to know that we're only in control of so many things. We need to know here, coming into 2019, though, because we're not in control of everything, we need to know that God is in control of everything. And in order to get that God is in control of everything within your spirit, that whatever takes place in your life that is not fair, you need to know that God, the God of justice that is fair, is in control even under those circumstances. Give the Lord a good clap offering. This prostitute needed a witness. It was night. There was no visibility. It was in a house. And she was asleep. She needed a witness. There's men, women, and youth right now dying in the street that need a witness. The book of Acts says that God has saved us and empowered us to be His witnesses to those that are still in drug addiction, that they don't have to be in drug addiction no more. But they need a witness. They need a man of God, a woman of God that has godly women, that the godly wisdom that is able to witness and say, I was where you're at. But then somebody talked to me about Jesus. I started going to church. I came and saw what Jesus was doing. I started to follow Jesus. And all of a sudden, from needing a witness, I am now today a witness of God. This city needs godly witnesses. This woman needed a witness. It was night. She was asleep. She needed an alibi. But there was no one in that house. It was dark and it was night, and she was asleep when it took place. The word of a prostitute against the word of another prostitute. A baby's dead, one's living, and they're arguing. Who does the baby really belong to? They were both claiming the same thing. Both claiming in verse 23. Then the king said, "Let us get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours." How many know that there was only one living child and two mothers? Amen? "And each says that the dead one belongs to the other." There wasn't two dead children, there was one. There wasn't two living ones, there was one. Somebody was lying. But yet, because of the one living child, somebody was telling the truth. I was known as the biggest liar, pants on fire. I'm 55 years old. Amen. We used to use liar, pants on fire, na 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 na. Nowadays, they come up with all kinds of words they use now. Amen. You got to have a code book. Never able to be trusted with the truth. My mom and dad couldn't trust me coming real. My brothers and sisters, they all knew I was a habitual liar. I believe these two prostitutes were habitual liars. But nevertheless, one of them was telling the truth. See, you can live a life of lies, and through the power of Jesus, you can get to a place in telling the truth. You can get to a place within your life where your life can be trusted. A life that at one time could not be trusted. That was me. And I know that was the majority here this beautiful Sunday morning. Somebody was lying. But even though there was two prostitutes in the house, one of them was telling the truth. The case was brought before King Solomon. He peeped it out. He heard it out. He go, "Okay, let's get the facts straight." It says up there. He knew the facts were crooked. And he's working. How am I going to find out? Nobody was there. They both agreed that. One thing they agreed on, that nobody was in the house but them. No witnesses. Sometimes I take on a counseling session. It's a toughie. I know it's going to be a toughie. God, I make a real important phone call. God, speak to me. Give me wisdom. God, speak to me. I'll do it. If somebody's in the car with me, God, speak to me right now. I'll say that before an important business call. But as the two that are arguing start to bring the case forward, sometimes within 5 seconds, I already have the answer because God gives it to me. He speaks to me. Sometimes I got to listen a little bit longer. And very rarely I'll say, "I'm going to have to pray on this one. I really don't know what to do here." Rarely that takes place. Because I have truth in my life today. And truth is able to reveal truth. I have the spirit of truth within my life. Not only when I speak, but when God speaks. And the Bible says that He is the Father of all truth. Solomon got a thought. It wasn't a sensitive thought. It wasn't a caring thought. But he needed to find out who the real mother of the one living child was. They were both making the same claims, that the living one belonged to them and the dead one belonged to the other. So he asked for a sword to be brought out. Amen. In 25, the Bible says, then he said, is that, what verse are you on right there? 25? Then he said, cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other. This was the living baby that was they were arguing over that belonged to them. Go to 26. Then the woman, so the sword was brought to him. He was going to cut the baby in half that was living. And the Bible records, then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child, please. Do not kill him. That's what the true mother said. The false mother said, but the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Divide him between us. Here the sword not only brought out the true mother, the truth, but the sword was also able to bring out the false mother, the lie. The sword represents here this morning to you and I, God's word, the truth. Solomon called for an actual sword. And within the full armor of God, this is our offensive weapon right here, and it's the sword, God's word. The sword, the living word of God, is not only able to bring forth truth, but it's also able to remove lies from our lives. See, God just don't bring truth, because he knows he first got to remove the lies from our lives in order to deposit his word, his incorruptible seed of truth. Here, the sword also was able to bring out the lies. In verse 26, this is how cruel this world is that we live in right now. This is the day and age that we're living in right now. Tell me, how cruel is this world, Pastor? I'm going to tell you right now. I didn't give this one on Friday. The Bible says that the other mother, go to 27. Go to 25. It's 26. So the real mother said she was willing to give her child to that other mother, right? Because she loved the child. She wanted the child to live. She wanted the child to live. But look what the false mother said. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. As if it was the fair thing to do, go half and half. He will neither be yours nor mine. Divide him between us, on my notes I put, wow. It was almost as that false mother was breaking even with this other prostitute, this other mother. You take half and I'll take half. Half of what? A dead child. Nobody was winning doing it that way. But this mother, this prostitute, was okay with King Solomon cutting the child in two. You get 50, I get 50. Stalemate, nobody wins. You need to know this new year of 2019 that who you hang out with is important. Because there's people right now that are crying, opposite sex, trying to cut a deal with you right now. As if it's a good deal. But it's a nobody win deal. You need to know that there's people breathing and living right now that are cold hearted. And they don't want to see you become that great man of God. They don't want to see you become that great woman of God. They don't want to see you become that great youth of God. And it would look like they're being right, like they're going 50-50 with you, like it's fair. And cutting in half of what the Lord wants to do within your life. This is the world we live in. There is people right now breathing that are willing to die to take you down and take you out. How can they get that access? If you let them too close. You allow them to get too close to you. Now, we're a frontline ministry. We lay hands on the lost and the bound, on killers, prostitutes, wine, all the above. Educated folks are some of the most dangerous ones. They're the kind of chop you up and eat you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's real important who you hang out with. Some you think you can still hang out with that same crew. Because you're coming to church now. That woman was hard. The other one, even though it was a prostitute, she was willing to give up her baby for he could live. This is the world we live in right now. The church of today is cold. There's jealousy in the church. When a man is being raised up and passes up another man. When a woman is being raised up because she's on fire and passes up another woman. There's jealousy. You don't need godly wisdom for that. You need godly wisdom in order to follow God and do the right thing. And part of doing the right things is who you hang out with. What music you listen to is important. There's heavy vibes behind music that stir you, that encourage you. And you're wondering, how do I get that thought? Backtrack a little bit. Oh. But it's a love song, Pastor. Yeah, talking about this and that and this and that and all that and then some. I've heard the craziest thing for people to listen to the music they want to listen. Pastor, music is the power, the only power you give to it and stuff. No. It's so much stronger than that. It's way stronger than that. There's people right now that the enemy got lined up to take you out or just to keep you in the church ineffective, not making a difference, not being used of God. This mother, even though she was a prostitute, was willing, her love, that was her kid, was willing to give it up to this woman that was saying, cut the baby in half just for him to live. What are you willing to give up this new year, 2019, for Jesus to live within your life? What are you willing to give up? That's not allowing you to follow God. That's not allowing godly wisdom to come into your life. That's not allowing the truth that is able to set the captive free to come into your life. What are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? This mother, even though she was a prostitute, was willing to sacrifice her very own child for him to live. Don't think you can go into this new year doing the same things, hanging out with the same people, and be able to follow God. The enemy is real. The enemy is real. There's people getting blasted right now. There's people doing life in prison right now. The prisons are full. They're still making prisons, brand new ones, all over the place. I've been there, done that. Prisons are real. Not just evil people go to prison. Good people go to prison. You make enough mistakes, you'll be housed with killers. Now I put in a lot of work for the devil, but I was never there looking who I could kill, whose head I could blast. But I was doing it through a lot of dope dealing. I was doing the same thing. I was bringing death, not life. What are you going to choose? What decisions are you going to make this new year? What are you going to give up in order for Jesus to live within your life this new year? You see, God was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son for you and I. He gave up his best for us to be here breathing this day, being able to hear the raw, uncut gospel of Jesus. We might not think this story is important, but it has to if it finds itself in the Bible. It has to be important. I think it's kind of telling us that we could have a prostitute background and still become someone that tells the truth, still become someone that's willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to bring life. That you don't have to stay not being trusted. You don't have to stay jumping from spot to spot, hustling from here to there and everywhere. But that you can get a good job. Have your own place. Set rules in your apartment, in your house that says no more smoking here, no more drinking here, no more cussing here, no more worldly music here. The answer was in verse 27. The Bible reads, then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. Give him to the woman who wants him to live. So I asked you a question. Do you want to live for Jesus or not? Because if you do, you can be the most imperfect man here this morning, the most imperfect woman here this morning. And Jesus said, I'm willing to be your witness. Matter of fact, I'm willing to take this to my dad, which is the judge of judges, amen, to say, not guilty. I said, Friday, man, if I would have got popped for all the stuff I did, man, it was straight up electric chair. It wasn't life in prison. I have 14 felonies. I got caught for 14 felonies. That was just, two hands and one foot, I can count how many felonies I have. But I think the stuff I got busted for were little things compared to the big stuff I got away with. Jesus called me not guilty. The law of the land said I was guilty. I was sentenced to prison, not once but twice. I want to let you know that Jesus can change your life. You don't have to ever worry about, again, going back to prison, going back to the street corner, hustling like this, hustling for money, hustling for this, trying to make ends meet. But you can do it the Lord's way. In verse 28, the Bible says, as the worship team makes their way, that when all of Israel heard, the Bible says, when all of Israel heard the king's decision, they were watching on, saying, man, what is King Solomon going to do with this one? There's no witnesses. No witnesses. And then King Solomon calls for a sword. They're like, man, what is he really going to do? I think he thinks this is a different case. This must have been a beheading case. The heck is he going to do now? The Bible says when all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in woe, in awe of the king. They heard the decision he made on the living child, what mother it belonged to. And he goes on to say, still talking about all the people of Israel, for they saw, they were able to see, they were able to see, the Bible records the wisdom God had given him. They knew it was not King Solomon's wisdom. They heard his decision, but they were able to see the great man of God. In the midst of that, in the midst of all of him, they knew that the root was that God gave them that wisdom on how a brought out sword brought out the true mother and also brought out the false mother. What is it this morning? Because the Lord wants to render justice here in your life. That you need his sword, his word to bring out. What is it? What is it that's still taking place in your life? That you need God's wisdom to remove from your life. And I ask you, what is it that you need this morning that you want God to deposit in your life that is of him? What is it? What you want him to remove? What is it that you want him to place in your life? What is it? Because he's able to do both. And even though he's just the Father of truth, he can remove lies with his word. See, there's times as parents, we need to discern in our children. She lying or telling the truth? Me and my wife look at each other. There's going to be situations at your job place where you just know who's telling the truth. Even if it's the most unlikely person to tell the truth. Because God will confirm it in your spirit. So as we stand this day, for some, God needs to remove some stuff from your life. With his spoken word here this day, there's some things that need to be removed that are hindering you from following God. And what is it that you want him to deposit that is from him in your life so you can be that man, so that you can be that woman this new year of 2019 that is able to follow him with the godly wisdom? When he asked Solomon, what is it you want? I'll give you anything. He says, give me wisdom. And I would believe that today, that's still a very smart thing to ask of the Lord as you come to the altar. Lord, I need your wisdom. I wanted to discern this new year more effectively than I did 2018. I'm going to open up the altars, amen? It's an important altar call. It's an important altar call. If you really want to follow God, if you really know that your life belongs to God, you really know that you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus.